Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Daisy, we might need you towards the end. We see how the Lord leads us this morning. Hallelujah. God is doing amazing things in our midst. Amen. We thank God for some of the testimonies we're hearing. I will be sharing some of that next Sunday. Amen. And some of us are traveling this week on different assignments. And the next week we'll be talking about others that are going back to school. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for our young people that just came back from seeing how lions are. Amen. Thank God for that safe trip. We're a family, and it's always good to recognize what the family is doing. Some of us will see ourselves on the Sundays. The others will see ourselves every day. Amen. So it's good to see everybody, and we thank God for what he's doing in this house. Amen.
Amen.
If I were to ask you one question, you come to church, you come to his presence of the Lord every Sunday, or however often you come. If I ask you one question, if one of you can answer, well, what is your motivation for coming? There are people who, very small reasons, they don't see any reason to be here. There are those who make the efforts because of distance, they watch, or because of some situation, they are online. And some that are out of town. But what will make you be so consistent, so faithful in coming on ground? Just two people who would like to say
what? The presence of the Lord, scripture says, forsake not the assembling.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Anybody else? Why are you so faithful? Being here on the Sunday.
I'm motivated by the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody else?
I love him. I can't stay away from
him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul. I'm going to be talking about Paul today and David. Paul wrote so many epistles to the church. And most of them was found in the personal experience with God. And one area he wrote to the Ephesian church, he told them something. He says, one of the reasons for the gifts in the church. Now, we're not talking about just ministry gifts, but offices. The teaching, the evangelist, the prophet, the people that God has empowered in various instances, is to equip the saints. Is to equip the saints. Is to empower the saints. Is to train. Is to inspire, to train, to motivate, to empower the saints for the work of God. For them to serve God in a lifetime. Serving God is not always standing in the preaching. Serving God is not always doing something with the church or doing it. Serving God most of the time is at your workplace. It's at your business. It's at school. Anywhere you are you a servant? So, one of the reasons for us coming is for us to be empowered and to be trained, to be equipped. This morning, as I was praying, this is the way, I was in prayer. And I was It wasn't a dream. It was in between a dream and, you know, I wasn't dreaming, but the Lord was showing me something. And I was receiving it. It was a man. And the Lord was showing me this man. He's a Christian, he's been in church. But he's gifted. He has a lot of gifts. It wasn't an easy face of a man, but it was just that revelation of a man. And I was in between sleep, but I was receiving what he was saying. And the man was so gifted that he was using his gifts to manipulate people. And to manipulate people. And I was, why am I showing me this? And it continued, I was showing me some other things. And later, I found myself in like a church session. And I saw the same thing happening in the other setting. I don't want to go into details. And at the end of all this, the Lord started impressing on me what some of the things I will share with you this morning. And I think it was somebody that came on this morning and said, we don't come here to play. Mm-hmm. Christianity is not a joke. Mm-hmm. Also, I see that it's not something you're serious carrying your face. It's not that kind of seriousness. Amen? Yeah. So I want to read some scriptures to you and then we'll see how the Lord is on this morning because I was encouraged. Apparently, what I want to share is also to encourage us. When you hear this word, don't see it in any way other than you being encouraged for your faithfulness, for persevering, for being consistent, for being faithful in the things of God, for being committed to the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
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 So the first scripture, this scripture I'm going to read might sound related to some of the things we're going to hear later. You know, but God will put it all together. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ about or above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heavens. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my weaknesses, my infirmities. For though I will desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, at least any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. Who knows? In different settings, in different seasons, in different years, who knows? That it might depart from me. That it might depart from me. That this thing will stop. That I'm over, this thing should be over. Verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, in infirmities, in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yes. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. Jesus preached a lot about the cross. I talked about the cross a few weeks ago, and we kind of followed in that area. Jesus preached a lot about the cross. And I made it very clear, those of you who were here, that unless we carry the cross and follow him, we cannot be his disciples. And we'll explain some of that. Now, Jesus now was about to reveal the mystery of the cross. Because Paul says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to man, but it is the power of God. To everyone that believes. Power of God. So, Jesus is now about to reveal the power of the cross. How did he reveal it? It was a spiritual warfare. But it has to do with the third heaven. We read it there, where the throne of God is. It has to do with the second heaven, where demons and principalities are sitting at the foot. And it has to do with the earth. It's his heavenly realm. So that cross, something that happened. Jesus became weak in the flesh. So weak in the flesh, he was beaten, he was broken, he was bruised, he was so weak, he appeared like he could do nothing by himself. He was as at the weakest in my mind could be. Actually, somebody had to carry the cross.
And on that cross,
let me just use this.
Sorry, is
there
a bathroom?
On that cross, which was the weakest moment of his life. Now, I want you to imagine this. For 3 years, almost three solid years and above, you watched somebody who walked on water. Can I increase this a little bit? Somebody who walked on water, the sick were being healed. Miracles were taking place. Amazing signs and wonders. A man that the whole Israel wondered after, the Messiah in the flesh, manifested, Son of God. And all of a sudden, he wants to reveal what brought him, what made him who he was. But he wants to reveal to us what will make us become like him. And he told it to us on that cross. He says, except we carry this cross, we cannot go where he's going. We cannot be his disciples. So after this amazing expression of strength, power, Jesus now was found naked, at least beaten, nailed on the cross, couldn't fight for himself, was helpless, was there bleeding. People were beating on him, mocking him, ridiculing him, reproaching him. Everything Paul was talking about was going through. Had a very, very painful experience in his flesh. And at that moment, he cried out to God as if he was mistaken. On that cross, Satan was speaking to the people who were there. If you are the Son of God, come down from this cross. If you are who you say you are, come down. But Jesus understood the power of the cross. And on that cross, something happened. He died in the flesh. He died. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus died on that cross, before he died, he made a statement. It is what is. Amen.
Amen.
And then he died. My brothers and sisters, Jesus rose up again the third day to show us exactly and to reveal exactly the other side of the cross that we don't see. It was Paul who, through his epistles, started unfolding this mystery of the cross. He says, while our outward man is perishing, our inward man is growing. While our outward man is dying, our inward man is in power. It says, so that we don't look at the outward, or we don't glory in the flesh. What does that mean? On that cross, when Jesus died to the flesh, the resurrection revealed exactly what happened in the spirit. In the spirit, Jesus rose up and glorified the Son of God, the glorious Son of God. And in the Spirit, he came forth and told the disciples, the battle has been won. What do you mean the battle has been won? That very interval moment, you all know the Bible. Peter wrote it, Paul wrote it, wrote about it. Jesus straight the most powerful force, the most powerful being that has ruled man in slavery, spiritually, physically, almost 1,000 years. This satanic being that has controlled the mind, the heart, and the soul of the ignorant man for 4,000 years. On that cross, when his flesh was weak and he died to the flesh, was when the greatest enemy, that is the power of the cross. So, God wanted to train soldiers. God wanted to train people after he left that will reveal the power of his victory to the rest of the generation. And God's always not different people. And one of the people he raised is number four. First of all, Paul, quote unquote, was raised up in church. He did not miss church. He actually got excited. He went to the best Bible school of his days, trained by the best theologians of his time. He memorized his Bible better than anybody else. Everything that Paul had, all he had, all his knowledge of the Bible was all the flesh, to be with the flesh, not the spirit. So Paul is now so knowledgeable in religion, in the things of the Bible, but it was all in the flesh. He didn't know that. That's what we call religion. So when Paul encountered Jesus, God now caused him to be born again. But when he was born again, like many of us are born again, we don't understand what it means to be born again. And even when we understand a little bit that what it means to be born again, we don't live the discipline that allows the spirit man to rule. Because our human strength is always what we will pray. So God has to use Paul to break down what it means to truly be a soldier, a matured, a Christian that has understanding of who really is in charge. So God took him up to heaven, revealed a lot to him. And this time he was talking about this experience he had. And 14 years down the road, now he has come to a place where he understood something he went through 14 years ago, but now it's not making sense to him. So he wrote about his experience 14 years ago, but he did not understand the experience. He did not understand the cross. See, if you study the Bible very well, most of people don't realize that there were seasons Paul went away for years. Away to seek the Lord in deserts, in which Paul did not enter into some of these things we see here. Some of them over 14 years' time. Paul had an experience 14 years back that he later was explaining now that he has a better understanding of the cross. Part of it is what I want to share with you this morning. The mystery of the cross. The Bible says the cross is so deep and so mysterious and so the wisdom of God that is not even attainable for spiritual forces. It says in 1 Corinthians, if they had known the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified, they would not have done what they did to Jesus. That was a lost battle for Satan. But in the physical, for the physical man, like a victory. And that's why Paul said that there's clearly in the revelation God gave to him. And Paul says, when he understood it, he said, now I take pleasure in the things that appear to man as weakness, but in the spirit I know who I am. So Paul said, battle that God allowed a situation to happen, and it was a demonic attack. And when this happened, God would have taken care of it just like that. And Paul is like, God, why is this thing taking this long? He cried out, he prayed. When he says cried out, means he's been praying, he's been seeking God, he's been fasting, and you know Paul. He's been praying and doing so many things to overcome this because the victory is being given. He fought, and each time he didn't hear a response. after so many years of however time, but at the third time of battling these things, asking God, how long, what is this? God, you can do this, you can do this, you can do that. I mean, it's nothing for you to take care of. Why? Because it's continue. And that's asking God to mend me. He loses something to him about the cross. But God didn't tell him, it was a revelation of the cross. She studied the book of what you see. And what he was saying. He said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, let me read it again. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Meaning, I become you, your spiritual maturity is revealed or manifested when you are weak. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The last of verse 10 says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Sometimes it's hard for us to interpret spiritual things. So God uses the physical to help me to understand the spiritual. And when I understand the spiritual, this has to make sense. I was talking about the cross and the power of God still. Doesn't make sense. We just read this, it's still back deep in the history. What does it mean? I'm weak in the flesh and you're strong in your heart. What does it mean? I'm not going to use the life of two people. And then the physical, where this is a small example. And then we'll come back to where we are. Why am I sharing this? First, you all remember Moses. You remember how strong Moses was in Egypt? Moses was trained in Egypt. Moses had the best training. I mean, you can read it for yourself. He was not only strong in Egypt, he was heir to the throne, the most powerful throne in Egypt. Moses had everything going for him in the flesh. Moses was a strong man, trained with strong mind, everything that you can imagine. And that strength that Moses had was what provoked him to almost believe that he can deliver Israel in that strength. He believed it. He believed it so much that he started the mission to deliver Israel. And he was very good at killing one person and saving one and killing one. That's all he could achieve. But what Moses did not realize, it was what Paul later revealed about us as believers. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Christianity has nothing to do with limiting yourself to just what you see with your physical eyes. So what God taught through the life of Moses is a cross. That flesh and blood cannot fight spiritual battles. Flesh and blood cannot confront enemies that you don't see. Flesh and blood cannot take people out of slavery. Cannot take people out of bondage. Flesh and blood cannot deliver people out of vices of life. So in the natural, God allowed Moses to look at all his strength and says, it is not possible. Why? Because there's a higher power. There's a power that has been holding those people that you cannot confront in the flesh. And when that power confronted Moses, he ran out of Egypt. After 40 years of going through the cross, after 40 years of dying to self, dying to the flesh, amen?
Amen.
Dying to the flesh is not like the way Jesus had it. His soul was literally used as a sacrificial lamb. Dying to the flesh and dying to the self doesn't mean you physically die. It's just what it does is, or what it witnesses is, There's a transformation that takes you from being confident of yourself to being confident. It doesn't stop you from being a human being. But you are more confident in God than you have in your education. You are more confident in God than you have in doctors. You are more confident in God than you have in all these things that God gives to men. But your confidence is not beyond them. Mm-hmm. So Moses was brought to a point where God now said, I want to show you who you are now. He did not understand the cross there. So God told Moses, now, Moses, you are now ready to face Pharaoh. Amen? Amen. You are now ready to bring the people out. And Moses said, look at me. Amen?
Amen?
Look at me. I can't even speak. I don't even have the eloquence anymore. It's all gone. All I've been doing is talking to cows and goats. I've lost my grammar. Look at me. I've been a shepherd man. Me, go meet Pharaoh. You see the contrast. And Moses kept saying, I cannot, I cannot, I cannot. Basically, Moses has now experienced the cross and his flesh is weak in comparison to what God was saying to him. Moses has no more confidence in his flesh. That's called weakness. Moses still exists. Moses has a sharp mind. Moses has what it is. But in comparison to what God wants to do spiritually and in the physical, he did not have confidence anymore that flesh can do it. No education can do it. Nothing can do it compared to what he's asking you to do. So God says, Moses, what you don't know is inside of you, you are my child now. What did God tell Paul? He says, when you are weak, I am strong. When you are weak, I am what? Strong. When you think you cannot do it, it's because now I am in control. Amen?
Amen.
When you think you've come to your end, now you are, I'm just now going to begin. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the whole reason of God raising up Israel. That's the whole reason of being born again. If your flesh can do anything, there's no need for Jesus to die to the flesh. And without the cross, your flesh is not there, period. Your flesh will still be your flesh. So that's why without the cross, you cannot walk by faith. So, one example is with Moses. You see how Moses became weak, but now God is what? Strong. Moses became weak, but inside his character is now strong. Moses is now weak. He lost confidence in his ability. But now God is saying, you trust in my ability. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the cross did. And one man that died to flesh and was matured in the spirit, God now says, it is no more in your weakness I am has taken over. And tell them I am that I am. It's the one sending. So that's one example. The other example is David. David was a very young man and loved God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to explain to you in the physical before we come back again in the spirit what God is saying. Because many of us are experiencing the cross. But we think it's a bad thing. God is trying to kill me. What does it mean? Kill you physically? No. Kill that pride. Kill that lust. Kill that all those things that are just fighting inside of you. Those things that are standing in the way of the supernatural. Those things that are standing in the way of you being a follower of Jesus. Those things are still making you a human being. You are not a human being if you are born again. You are a supernatural being. Amen?
Amen.
So, David, at a young age, God saw his heart. And God knows David's future. And God knew what he was going to do with David. So what did God do? The moment God sent Samuel to put an oil of destiny, to call David out, to set him aside, to set him aside, to prepare him to fulfill destiny, to do the things God is calling him to do. What did God do with David? The first thing God did with David was to begin to teach him the cross. The cross, if you forget anything, is God's way of killing our dependency on ourselves alone. It's God's way of completely turning our eyes and our total dependence by faith on God. So David, all of a sudden, God started training him. Training him on the reality of the spiritual world. God started training him that if you are going to rule on behalf of my kingdom, Israel, you cannot walk by sight. You cannot depend on the physical. The physical is too big for you. If you look in the physical, there are giants out there, there are problems out there, there are all kinds of things. If you're going to serve my kingdom, I'm going to teach your hands to war and your fingers to fight spiritual battles. Amen?
Amen.
Please listen carefully, because the purpose of this message was very, very serious. The purpose of this message is the Lord was stressing that my children, I have more civilians than I have soldiers. No believer is called to be a civilian in the things of the Spirit. Because you fight battles, you go through things, and they're not all natural. They're spiritual. And if you don't understand how to confront things in the Spirit, then all you're just eating is milk. You spend 10 years in church and you're not even lifting your hands to fight the battle. So God told David, I'm going to train you. I'm going to train you to depend on the spiritual world, because that's who you represent. How did he train Moses? David. He started training David by changing his mindset. How did he try to change his mindset? He started changing David's mind to see through the word of God, the promises of God, in the things of the spirit than in the physical. So the first training he gave after that oil came on him was, now that you're a child of God, called Serapah, was David was confronted with a bear. Amen?
Amen.
A bear. None of us here can fight a very strong dog. Well, that dog knows everybody's family anyway. Small dog. More or less, they just came from the zoo. Why did they put them there? Because they are wild animals. They have strength. So God, first of all, started teaching David, you cannot fight evil things in the flesh without me. So you must start depending on my promise, on my word, on me, on my relationship with you. You must start trusting me to fight your battles. So, however we did it one or three years, the bear, he defeated it. And it was in the name of the Lord. It was to believe in the Lord. It was to trust in the Lord. It was not his strength. David understood from this training that some trust in their chariots, in their weapons, in this, in that. That's why I said There's nothing wrong with doctors. There's nothing wrong with lawyers. That's what they are trained to do to help us fight things. But if your confidence is limited to that, you can fail. So, David was trained to trust in the Lord. And when he saw what God did with the bear, he knew that God can be trusted. Amen?
Amen.
Then later, God knew where he was taking David. He was changing his mind gradually that David, you can't, if you can't run from the bear, the physical, you cannot run from the lion. Listen carefully, I'm talking about the spiritual attitude we face. I'm talking about our pains. I'm talking about pornography. I'm talking about flesh. I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about gossip. I'm talking about the things that we are refusing to fight. And as long as we run from them, they are hindrances to our spiritual goals. After that, the lion came. Well, in David's mind, something has shifted. If God can do this, he can do this. He trusted God to fight the lion. What is that lion in our lives? Everybody runs from lion. But why does God want David to confront lion? Because you can't confront a lion in your strength. Amen?
Amen.
So David confronted the lion in his weakness. He put on the strength of the Lord. And in the strength of the Lord, he overcame the lion. Now that he defeated the lion, guess what? The very same thing everybody was fighting in Israel and didn't know how to deal with it in their mind is Goliath. Goliaths are not just the giant that happened about thousands of years ago. We have Goliaths in our minds. We have things that we deal with that we just bring reproach to us. There are things we struggle with that they are not giving up. They are not letting go. There are things we just don't want to face. They are Goliaths in our mind. And God has never called you to fight Goliaths in your strength. God has never called us to fight lust in our friends. God has never called us to fight the things that sometimes we just completely surrender to in the flesh. And they dominate us. And they control us. And we're in church. So God had to teach this young boy at a young age, if you're not weak, you will not understand the benefits of God. If you think you can fight the bear, there's no need to depend on God. If you think you can fight the lion, there's no need to depend on God or find out how to trust God. So you just forget and run, and that thing just chases you everywhere you go. We were in a conference one time in Nashville. I was working with a young man. You know what a conference is? They put you in nice hotels. Amen?
Amen.
Nice places, you pay for it. While we were there, I liked this young man, very transparent young man, came to me in the middle of the conference. He says, do you know why you don't see me in the conference inside? Because I was spending, what was it, a few years ago, spending all my time on that paid television. I was thinking, what about that? We came for a Christian conference preaching. He spends most of his time just saturating himself in on the screen. He has a Goliath. And that Goliath chases him everywhere. Paul says, let this thing go away. God says, I'm teaching your hands to war and your fingers. If I let it go away, it will come back again. I want to teach you to fight until you overcome. Mm. Anything you overcome, you rule.
Amen.
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 So, David, after fighting Goliath, you think that's over. Now God says, I'm about to make him king. Amen?
Amen.
God allowed a provocation of jealousy. Everybody say jealousy.
Jealousy.
It's flesh.
Amen.
Jealousy is a limitation of man. It's imbued in a fallen man. Cain killed his brother. It has never gone away. It's in the flesh. When jealousy is provoked, you become a different person, even to your own brothers. Ask Joseph about it. It's flesh. These are the things the cross wants us to kill. We can't come in church every day and give you the excuse of why this thing cannot die. So, after the David King Goliath, then another beast rose up called jealousy through the life of Saul. And this particular beast was what God used to mature David's character and train him and his army in warfare. Nobody can be trained in war that has not gone to war. Amen?
Amen.
You will practice, they will train you, you will do all your trainings, but until you go to war and come back before you become a veteran. Amen?
Amen.
David went through serious transformation of war and war and war, and he was weak. If you read the book of Psalms, you will see the cries of David as a big man. And his dependency on God, his trust in God, his longing to God, until you only you, you will see all the cries. Why? God put him in a situation where God did not let David lose. Paul was crying, God, take this away. The same thing, David, oh my God, when can I be free from this sore? When can I be free from this plague? When can I be free from this thing? God didn't let him go. Amen?
Amen.
Until Saul died. But God used that to kill David's flesh. Kill David from jealousy. Kill David from fighting back. How many times it the sword was vulnerable to David? David says, I will not touch you. I will not take this position by myself. I will not do this to you. I have the privilege to kill you, but I will not. I can do this, but I will not. How did he get there? He was crucified. He started putting his confidence in, if God called me, he will put me there. He started dying to this monster in us called flesh. And after he has come through maturity, he now was made a king. Amen?
Amen.
To show you how mature David is, he says, I can't be a king until God is brought back on this place, under the Ark of the Covenant. I can't do it. I cannot. I don't even know how to be a king. Because until the king is here, then he can lead me. That's a man who has been humble, who has died to the flesh. My brothers and sisters, what the Lord was saying here is, Paul wrote another letter to the Galatian church. I want you to hear this. I don't know how you read the book of Galatians. There is no believers. They came out of darkness. They came out of the world. They came out of slavery. They came out of everything that you can imagine from the world. From up, and then they came here and went back again into religious slavery. Into another kind of slavery. Into just the letter of the world and all this cramming and memorizing scriptures and not allowing the trials and things to go through. Surrendering enough for God to deal with pride and issues of the heart. And they are back again being controlled. The spirit of God. But this time, it is flesh. So Paul wrote this letter in verse 4. He says, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, though a child carries the destiny, the DNA of a king, or the lordship, he says, he's still going to be slave in his mind until he's gone through the school, through the training, through that course. He cannot be beaten as a son. His mind has not been changed. He doesn't even know who he is. He's born again. He doesn't know he's born again. He doesn't know why he's born again. He doesn't know the power he carries on the inside. Because the flesh is still strong. The Bible says, until your flesh is weak, it suffered some level of, you will not understand how powerful your spirit is. One of the first things the Lord taught me when I got saved. There are several. But the first thing he opened my eyes to, I was praying one day and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, right here, in the middle of Cleveland, across from Lee University on the other side, there's a street there. Right in that street, I saw this serpent like a tree. Rose up and it just spread its wings. And I was watching the serpent, and there were other small serpents around it. Watching it, and I was sweating in that dream. Sweating! And when I came out of that dream, my shirt was soaked like I took a shower. Because that was the spirit of religion, fear, satanic spirit of what I say. Amen?
Amen.
God, let me see it in a way, in a dream was so real. I came out of that and said, why are you showing this? Say, because that's why he's calling my life. To train this house of spiritual warfare. To train this house to understand how to dominate the spirit and not to worry the flesh. The flesh looks foolish. Look at these four corners we are. We don't have a big building, but this house grows.
Amen.
He says, I'm weak, I face reproaches. But God says, I glory in my weakness because that's God's blindness to the enemy. But I know what I'm doing in the spirit. And then after that dream, the Lord started teaching me how to pray in the spirit and not depend on my intellect. I prayed in the spirit until, I don't know why we trust our intelligence so much. And then he started teaching the training is not just come to church, do that. I devour this fire. We want to kill lion. We want to kill bear that are fighting us. 80% when they came out of the theological students are in pornography. Students of the Bible are dealing in lust. Is lust not real? It's real. Is the cross not real? That's why Jesus died. Amen?
Amen.
I'm only just talking about things, but you know what I'm talking about. What's your bear? What's your Goliath? What's your liar? Will you continue for this to dominate and rule? When? Because you don't want to be weak. You don't want to surrender. In that vision, time is gone. In that vision, after I came out, that's when the Lord told me. He says, in Luke chapter 11, he says, no man can enter into a strong man's future and plunder his goods until the strong man is taken. And God has shown me that spirits dominate lives, not just individual lives, but cities and places. He says you have to, like David, be trained. Like Moses, you have to. What is the training? The consecration of life that brings you to a place of brokenness. In a place where you don't pride yourself in who you are. In a place where you are so humbled by God. But in the Spirit, you are known by your name. Two people can stand here and pray and say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da in the Spirit. But in the Spirit, somebody will say, I know that voice is Paul. I know that voice is Jesus. I'm sorry. But who are you? Are you submitting to God? Or are you submitting to the flesh and you want to come and tell me to get it away? You have to submit yourself to God first and resist the devil and he will flee. If your flesh, you're not submitting to God, you're not allowing God to crucify your flesh and you want to rule. So that vision I saw was God was showing me people that is gifted in the body of Christ. Instead of using their gift, they were using their gift for the things of the flesh, but they were not ruling in the Spirit. We are really blessed to have men and women gifted in this house, and they are after the things of the Spirit. They are after the heart of God. Who was the reason for this message? Just stopped. There were things I was going to say more. I'm going to stop here and tell you the reason. The reason is to encourage you. Many of you might not realize it, but the fact that you've been here long enough, you have been walking through the cross. God has done a lot in many of you here without knowing it. A lot. You died to a lot without knowing it. Because you carry the cross. When you carry the cross, when you allow God to train you, God will bring you into seasons. And then later God will bring you into one of the seasons that we all look for. It's called harvest. Amen?
Amen.
Joseph got there at some point. Moses eventually got there. David got there. All these people got there. Where? You don't tell them. They already know they are useless in the flesh. But in the Spirit, in their spirit man, you don't cross this in that way. That breakthrough night we're here is a word that came. A lot of people might not believe that word because it doesn't make sense to them. But I understood exactly what that word is. Is because of where this house is in the Spirit. There are assignments in this nation, in this city, that is because of consecration. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That God will do some things. So the Lord is saying, Mount Zion is come into harvest time. Amen?
Amen.
Harvest time. How many of you understand what harvest is?
Amen.
Reaping time, blessing time. Amen. But you know what? Harvest does not just come. It is work. Amen?
Amen.
The book of Joshua will tell you. There is still a fight. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence takes what? By force. We already read the book of Joshua. How many of you have read the book of Joshua? God gave them the promise. God prepared them. It was season. God told them, you're going to possess the land. But we all read it. They didn't just go and sing this nice and then possess the land. Amen?
Amen?
There was a confrontation. There was a preparation. There was a comfort. And there was war. We don't fight in the physical. Our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons are mighty. And it's hearing God and obeying God. It's the greatest weapon. Hearing God and obeying God. Amen?
Amen.
That's your biggest weapon. How do you hear God? How do you obey God? That's the life of consecration. One, God is calling us back. If we are going out there, I'm going to share focus next week on the tent and the vision of the tent. But I'm just preparing your heart for harvest. This word was what God told Joshua to focus on. you're going to possess your land. We must, our mindset cannot be carnal. We must hold on to this by faith. And two, they didn't fight in the flesh. They fought in the spirit. And God is calling us to go this season and use worship as our lifestyle. Jehoshaphat did it. Different people. Paul, we read about Paul and Silas. God says, stay in the place of worship. I'll be giving you instruction. I'll be speaking to you. You don't have to do anything to start happening. I'm beginning to see a little of that. God will speak. God will say a little here. And that's where we've been so far. And God is honoring that. Because of years of the flesh losing its thickness, but gradually hearing the whispers of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
One of the ways, not only staying in the Word, I'm not preaching this message so that we just go. How many of you leave this house on Sundays and through the week, you really go to these passages or go to whatever you hear there and meditate upon it? If you don't do that, it's easy to lose those things you have. Another way, apart from worship, apart from the Word, is fasting. As we're entering this new season, I have different ways that God leads me. From the time I got saved, God led me different ways. There was a time, because I had a revelation of fasting. Fasting doesn't only humble the flesh. It humbles your soul. It breaks things. It's really Isaiah 58. Fasting does almost similar to what the anointing does. But it makes it permanent in your life. It destroys the flesh. Soulish things. And opens you up for deliverance. And then allows the fruit of the Spirit to grow fully in your inner man. When God revealed that, how did He reveal that? I said, that all these satanic things you're showing me, all this evil, what am I to do? How do I even overcome my own? How? I said, show me the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord said, I am the devil. You don't know that? This flesh is the fruit, is the loss of the flesh. Pride of life, loss of the flesh. That's all that is in this flesh itself. From the fall of man, this thing here. It's the worst enemy itself. Amen?
Amen?
So the only way to enjoy yourself in this life is to get rid of the flesh, the self. And then you begin to enjoy Christian life. That was very hard for me to believe. Amen? But I looked at the mirror and I found out that I'm my biggest problem. Some of you are not your biggest problem. You're the nicest people in the world. You don't cause anybody problem, isn't it? I found out I came out of the world with baggage. I came out of the world with all kinds of things loaded in my system. And they were fighting me. And God says, purge the flesh. Purge yourself of these things. Get rid of them. I didn't get rid of them. Just come to the store on Sunday. I ate this. Because this is a new diet. And I passed it. Fasting is not punishment. It's obedience to the wisdom of God. As I said, as we enter this season, I call it a lifestyle. Tell you what our family members, the consecrated every week in one of this. The consecrated 66 in fasting. Fasting, read Isaiah 58, is all my mind good. After a few years of meeting, I found that at least I was struggling with the water. I didn't know how to do it. None of us came into Christianity perfect. None of us came just living a righteous life. We were children. Amen?
Amen?
We all came in with baggage, with wounds, with things that God wants to get rid of. So we are free to enjoy where God is taking. And I learned those things after many years. We're about to go into this season, and the Lord changed my life and then my diet, and said, I want you to start consecrating this kind of fast. Because I'm preparing you for a new stage, a new level of the harvest, what it will look like. And through this season of prayer, one of the texts I saw, I was in prayer one day, I went to sleep, just to show you your spirit, man. The flesh, let anybody laugh at you. I don't care how I look in the flesh. Amen? But I'll take care of myself to look good. But I care about how I look in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
God can't put you in charge of this involving nations if you don't know how to surrender. You're not fighting demons, you're fighting spirits, principalities. So recently, just to show you why it's important for you to walk in the spirit. Just once you obey God, leave the rest to me, amen?
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here should be afraid of devils or spirits. But some people still are afraid of that. How can light be afraid of that? Amen?
Amen.
We are called to cast our devils, to do things. I won't go into that. But recently, just to show you why God wanted me to see my spirit. Not see, but just understand a little bit. I didn't cover everything, but it's good. I was in the spirit, I was sleeping, but I was in the spirit. And I literally saw, I don't know if it's Satan himself or an agent, but that's the first time I saw a spirit, and I saw what the Bible means, darkness. It comes about that darkness into light. There is no color here except that. And this wasn't a dream. And God says, that's your spirit, man. Your spirit, man, is bigger than Goliath. Your spirit, man, is bigger than bear. It's bigger than lion. That's who God wants you to consecrate on building the muscle. Amen?
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 Amen.
You can be like Goku in the flesh and still not defeat a demon spirit. Because it's not flesh and blood. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God can use all our muscles to take care of his cows. I don't have cows. I don't need cows. Amen?
Amen.
But in the spirit, we need muscles. Amen? So today, if you don't remember this, this is what the Lord wants me to tell you. He's calling you. In this season, to see yourself as spiritual soldiers and not civilians. You are not civilians. Amen?
Amen.
You are soldiers.
Amen.
You are warriors.
Yes.
You are called to take territories and overcome. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through something, whatever it is, if it's whatever your pay or your lion is, I want to encourage you to read Isaiah 58. Enter into a time of 2-3 days of fasting. Ask God. Fight that battle spiritually by fasting and prayer. And begin to resist whatever that thing is. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, the word resist means refuse. Refuse. After you humble yourself, you pray. And you have the word, you refuse for that thing to control you. And just to say, no, you will not go here anymore. No, I will not do this. No, I will not covet. No, I will not be. No, I will not yield to that video. No, I will not watch this. No, I will not. And watch all this time. You find out the devil has been waiting for you to say no all along. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is calling us to harvest. You'll hear more next week as God is preparing us, let everybody in this place know you are light. Everybody say, I'm light.
Light.
And darkness is afraid of me. I can see that you mean it. Let's say it again. I am light. That's what God says you are, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you light?
Yes.
And then, if you're light, who runs away when you show up?
Darkness.
That's what the Bible says. Not your flesh. No, spirit me. The word of God in you. You're light. And the darkness flees when you show up. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says it's only the wicked that rose from a low man. So remember that when you're light, and darkness runs before you. But that's so you consecrate yourself in. And let's stand up together. One of the things that gives us the power to take this kind of ownership by faith and to live in it is communion. Every time you take communion, it says you will be reminded who you are, whose blood you carry, whose DNA that is in you. Everybody says, I carry the blood of Jesus.
I carry the blood of Jesus.
In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with what? With God. And the Word was what?
With God.
And the Word is the life of God. And that life is what? The light of God. And the light shines in what? Darkness. And the darkness flees. He cannot stop it. So as we take communion this morning, I want you to settle today as you take it that you carry your spirit man is the DNA of God. You carry the bloodline of Jesus. You are a royal creature, a royal being. It's not what you see on the outside. What you see on the outside is flesh. You are the sons and daughters of the living God, and you carry his DNA.
Yes.
And his DNA is light.
Yes.
And his DNA is a royal lineage. You are born into the ruling class, and you are called to rule. Take communion this morning and say, God, I believe it. I receive it. From this day forward, teach me to fight. Teach me to fight. Teach me to really work in my identity. Fight against my mindset. The mindset that is dominated by the world or anything else. I want to live. I want to keep fighting until you completely transform my mind. That I really believe who you are and what you've done for me through the blood. That is our prayer this morning. Let's take this communion. Believe it. Father, those things I was not able to get to, reveal it through the words you've spoken. If you come and join me, let's stand in agreement. We overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
My brothers, don't give up. Don't give up
fighting.
Stand on the word. Stand on the cross. Don't give up. The Lord spoke to me this week that if you use it, he says three words that my success is don't give up. He went into my spirit. Don't give up. Three words for success in spiritual world. Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
This is your word. It's a remembrance for us. That this is what we eat when we study your word. This is what goes into our spirit, man. As we eat, we are eating your word.
Yes.
We are developing our inner man.
Yes.
We are building our most holy faith.
Yes.
Father, that is what you're reminding us today.
Yes.
as we take this blood, this drink, you are reminding us that we carry your bloodline. We are citizens of your kingdom. We are royal. And you have finished all things. And we rule. And you're calling us to believe you, that you are truly our Father. Father, seal this in our hearts. And help us to experience transformation in our minds. Especially in this season. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Make that decision today. Make that bold decision today. I challenge you to believe today that you're born again by the word of the Lord. You're born by the Spirit. I challenge you to believe you are truly a child of God. Backed by the Holy Spirit, backed by the angels of God, to be an overcomer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't want to leave us in our state, in our fleshly nature. You came with your Spirit to empower us. And as we partake of your body and your blood today, Father, we ask that you flush out every flesh, every darkness, everything that is not you in us. Fill us with you completely. May everything in our soul, our spirit, our body come alive to the life of Christ. In the name of Jesus, we receive your body, we receive your blood, we receive you afresh. And we thank you for newness of life, for transferring us out of darkness into your light, that we shine forth as light, for touching us in every way, healing, restoring, delivering, and raising up. In Jesus' name, amen.